The spotlight is on the Sun Belt, App State, and the Raging Cajuns. The winner, home field looks awfully sweet for the second Sun Belt Conference Championship game. Maybe. The LSU Tigers and the Florida Gators. Big boy football. One at the line of scrimmage. We'll take you in the trenches with Chris Truax. The Saints on the road to Jacksonville. Jacksonville might be LSU East with Leonard Fournette and DJ Chark doing their thing. We'll talk to their play-by-play voice, Frank Frangie. And it's hump day with Huguenin. What a weekend of college football. Can Saturday get here soon enough? All these stories and more today, Wednesday, October 9th, 2019.
Just going to go in and, you know, get your work. This is, you know, just lining up to be like a normal start day. Now just really going out and executing. You know, we've seen these guys plenty of times now. They've seen me. It's kind of just like a chess game a little bit, and you just got to go out there and make it pitches, timely hitting, all that stuff.
We've just seen Strasburg recently, and obviously he had his way with us. So, you know, we're going to have to make adjustments. And I'm sure he's going to either do what he's been doing or make adjustments. And we got to kind of – I like the familiarity, the recent familiarity. You know, there's going to be 45,000 fans there. But, yeah, as a fan, as a player, you live for moments like this.
As I'm walking up to him, you know what I mean, he's the next person in line, he's kind of just standing back with his hands down. And I'm like, it's happening faster than you think it's happening. You know, he doesn't take a step, he doesn't look to move up. So I put my hand out, you know, just out of courtesy. Like, and he gives me a little petty slap on the hand. And I took it as disrespect because the way he was standing back, like he wasn't walking up and approaching like everybody else. So I was like, okay. And I already felt some type of way at the beginning.
Richard Sherman is nuts. I'm sorry. It's obvious Baker Mayfield shook his hand. Shut up, Richard Sherman. Get out. I know your 49ers are undefeated. That's great. But I'm tired of you and your old stuff. And we got two game fives tonight. St. Louis at Atlanta and Washington at the Los Angeles Dodgers. The National League division series have been really, really dramatic. The Yankees just sitting back waiting. Astros and the Rays, game five tomorrow. So baseball takes center stage on that side. But for college football, it's all about App State and the Raging Cajuns. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome this hump day edition of the Jordy Helpert Show. My main man, producer extraordinaire, CD, in the 237 Roof Studios at the Master Control Suite. In at KLWB 103.7 The Game and 103.7thegame.com. We got a jam-packed show today. But look, it's all about Cajun Field tonight. 7 o'clock, ESPN2. The national spotlight is on it. Cajuns have never beaten the Mountaineers. They're 0-6. 0-6. They are the program that the Raging Cajuns want to get to. That's what they want. The Mountaineers won both meetings in Boone, North Carolina last season, 27-17 in the regular season and 30-19 in the championship game. But Billy Napier wants no part of that. That's all in the past.
But I do think that one of the things that's really exciting to me is the league that we play in, the conference divisions, the championship game, the improvement of our league. You know, I think the quality of player in our league, the quality of coach in our league, and you see that our teams are being competitive with other G5 conferences and certainly the Power 5 matchups this year in particular, and you've seen it in the past a little bit. I think we're gaining respect from a Nationals perspective.
No question they are doing that. without question, without doubt. Look, the Raging Cajuns have got to do a job defensively. They've got to do a job, and it all starts with how do you control the quarterback for App State? And Billy Napier talked about that quarterback, and that's the biggest test tonight for his ball club.
And this may be the biggest test of all because I think this guy's a well-rounded player. He's really an accurate passer. He's been very effective. I think he's improved as a passer. He's benefited from the new system. And I think he's got really good skill players around him. So covering their skill players, tackling their runners, and then when the guy does have to pull it down and does break the pocket, the design runs, the read runs at quarterback, we've got to do a good job and play with discipline. Certainly keeping the guy in the pocket and trying to affect him throughout the day will be important.
Zach Thomas is his name, and he is a key focal point in the ball game. But you, the Raging Cajun fans, can be a difference maker. There's no question about it. You can be a difference maker. And as soon as that last win was put in the rearview window, Billy Napier said it best when he said this to the Raging Cajun Nation.
It's time, you know, for people to show up, you know, and really make a statement about how committed we are. You know, this is a group of young men and a time that, you know, I think that, you know, we're going to play on national television and ESPN2 in the type of atmosphere that we can create. You know, I think our fans realize this, but they can impact the game. And we certainly have made progress there. Each and every home game so far this season has gotten better and better. But Wednesday night, you know, our students, our fans, against a terrific opponent on a national stage, it doesn't get much better than that.
And the weather's perfect. If not now, when, right? The two teams appear on track for a title game rematch in December, and home field is likely to go to the winner of this one. Plus, the winner could find itself in contention for the Group of Five's New Year's Six Bowl berth. Yes, the Raging Cajuns are a one-point underdog in the game, and that's simply because they've never beaten App State. But the fans, you can make a difference. There is no question about it. So this is a home game that means an awful lot. And it hadn't been like this in a long, long time at Cajun Field. So, look, they don't turn the ball over. That's one of the key stats in the ball game. They just don't turn. They've never fumbled all season long. Never fumbled. And they've only had two interceptions. So can you force a turnover? Can you create some havoc there? You got to stop Zach Thomas and make others beat you. But, again, defense has to step up, and I think the Cajuns go as far as Levi Lewis takes them. I really, truly do. He's thrown for 980 yards, 8 touchdowns, 2 interceptions. I'm not worried about Regis, Mitchell, Calais. They can run it. But can Levi Lewis make plays? And when that pocket shrinks, can he scramble around and either use his legs to pick up yards and move the chains, or can he buy time and find some open receivers? Can he find Jamarcus Bradley or Jamal Bell? I think the Raging Cajuns are a really good team. They lost their Power Five game to Mississippi State. App State won their Power Five conference game at North Carolina. Who's better, State or Carolina? Carolina played Clemson toe-to-toe. So this is a very good App State team. They're undefeated. You, the fan base, can make a huge difference. You really can. Coming up, Pierre Banks is the radio color analyst for App State. He will join us next as we are brought to you each and every day by Peterbilt of Louisiana, Lafayette, Baton Rouge, New Orleans, and in Lake Charles. It's the dream of every truck driver to own a Peterbilt because it's the best, the most comfortable, the most dependable, the most reliable, the best resale value. Get yourself a Peterbilt. Get on the highway and get going. Cajuns, Mountaineers, We continue the conversation next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show.
The Blonde Bomber is back and better than ever as you're locked into the Jordy Helfrich Show on 1037 The Game, 1037thegame.com, and on the free mobile app.
All right, well, we're less than 5 hours away from the most anticipated game in the Sun Belt. It's a big matchup, ESPN2 at Cajun Field, as the Appalachian State Mountaineers are in town to take on the Raging Cajuns. This ought to be a really, really good one. We are thrilled to welcome Pierre Banks back to the program. He is the color analyst on the Appalachian Sports Radio Network. He will be in Cajun Field tonight. I hope the Southern hospitality is treating you well, Pierre. Good afternoon, sir.
Hi, today, man. Absolutely. Went to Don's school last night. Almost went into a coma. So, you guys, you really know how to live.
You brought some of that Mountaineer weather down with you, man. Thank you. We appreciate it.
Well, man, when you come off that mountain and the heat gets to you, man, cramps are an issue and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, we got to try to even the playing field as much as we can.
All right. So you're 4-0 overall, obviously 1-0 in the Sun Belt. Eliah Drinkwitz, how is this team different, or is it not different from a year ago? And he's hit the ground running, off to a great start.
Right. A lot of the same personnel from a season ago. A lot of those guys were pups last year, freshmen and sophomores. So the personnel is there, but the experience that they have from that year that they had last year, just two losses, you know, big time bowl win. And then when you bring in this new coaching staff, it's a lot more aggressive than we've seen in the past, especially offensively. When you talk about a guy like Eliah Drinkwitz, who just has a knack for those play calls at the right time and is not afraid to go ahead and attack you defensively and keep you off balance.
All right, so you got a veteran quarterback in Zach Thomas, who's a junior. You got a veteran running back in Darrington Evans, who's a junior. Are those the two catalysts for this ball club?
Absolutely, and the Mountaineers will win or lose by those two guys, especially when you face a team in the Cajuns that are first in the nation in rushing. I mean, you average 314 yards on the ground, and so each possession that you have is going to be precious with two teams that run the ball so effectively. So they've got to come out, establish the run. They've got to be able to get Darrington Evans going. But they have a stable of backs, man. Dacre Hansen coming in after Evans is a big guy, a lot of speed. Got a little wiggle to him. Marcus Williams Jr. also very good on the ground. They've got to get those guys going to loosen up that Cajun secondary, who is only giving up a .186 through the air. They really get after you as a passer. And so with that ground game, they'll try to use that to loosen up that secondary and take some of the pressure off of that.
App State's one of 16 remaining unbeatens in FBS and one of four unbeaten group of five schools. One of those big wins was at North Carolina in Chapel Hill, 34-31. How significant, how meaningful was that game for App State?
It was big for the state of North Carolina. And a school like North Carolina that gets a lot of the premier recruits out of that state, you know, it opens some eyes as far as that goes. And, you know, when you grew up in the state of North Carolina and all you hear about is the Tar Heels your whole life, man, it's good to get that win against them. And it builds confidence. You know, you get a quality win on the road. So on a night like the night where you're facing a really, really good Louisiana team on the road, you've got that confidence built up from earlier on in the season, and especially with when the chips are down, you face adversity, you know that, you know, you still got it in the tank to be able to continue to play sound football and, you know, try to make a comeback if you need to.
In that game at North Carolina, Demetrius Taylor was just unbelievable. He earned multiple National Defensive Player of the Week honors with 2.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, a fumble return for a touchdown, and an interception. I mean, is this guy, did he go into a phone booth and come out with a cape on or something?
Well, that's just one game, man. This guy has been playing exceptional football all season long. And that just so happened to be on a national stage, but he has just been the catalyst for this defense, you know, that have timely turnovers, you know, and put you on your heels offensively. They're very aggressive. They got a lot of speed. And he's just a guy that his motor is always on buck 20 and gets after you up front.
We are talking with Pierre Banks, the color analyst on the Mountaineer Radio Network. 7 o'clock kickoff, national television, ESPN2. Cajun fans are saying it's about time we get you guys down in Acadiana. I mean, two games a year ago, both up in Boone, including the first original Sun Belt title game, in which you guys won it 30-19. What do you remember the most about those games, and what did you do well enough to beat the Cajuns on those two occasions?
I just remember thinking that Louisiana is a really, really good team, especially the first time they came up. You know, the record wasn't glamorous, you know, and the numbers didn't really jump off the page at you, but, I mean, they fought tooth and nail from start to finish in that game. A lot of talent in that backfield with the three-headed monster that they had then and still have today. Offensive line play gritty, you know, come off the ball. They'll play until the whistle blows. And then all the talent that they have at the skill position, you know, is just phenomenal. And you had a different starter a season ago, but when Levi Lewis came to the ball game, all he did was orchestrate a drive right down the field, put six on the board, and you looked at the guy and knew that he had it, you know. And now this year he's carried that over and has just been incredible against his opponent so far this year. Mm-hmm. And I don't expect any different from today.
Well, I mean, I don't know what your coaching staff is doing, but you're tied for first with the fewest fumbles lost, zero, all year long, and second in fewest turnovers, only two all season long in four games. It's got to be a point of emphasis, but my goodness, protecting the ball seems to be something that you guys do extremely well.
Right, and when you have so many options offensively, you know, you can just kind of take what the defense gives you. A lot of teams, you know, they're either a running team or they're a passing team, and so when the chips are down, they're going to stick with what they know. Where the Mountaineers excel is they can put the ball on the ground or they can excel through the air. And so when you load up the box, they attack you on the outside and deep with their very talented receivers. And when you try to drop back that safety, that opens up running lanes for their very talented running backs. And so they don't have to force the issue as much. And luckily enough for them, they haven't been in a situation where they've been down big in games and where they have to force the issue through the air, things like that. So they can stay balanced. Then they'll continue to excel in that turnover margin. And then conversely, they've been able to turn the ball over on defense, and that's really been the difference in their game.
Pierre Banks joining us, my guy. I mean, I can go on and on. I mean, look, this is a football powerhouse school. I don't think there's any question. Seventh. Tied for seventh for the most wins in the FBS since 2015, winning at an 80% clip. The most wins in the group of five since 2015 at 80%. Your home winning streak is off the charts at 13 straight. You've got the best overall record since 2014 in the Sun Belt, 77%. It's just it's remarkable what this football factory has been.
Yeah, and it started, you know, a while back in the FCS / 1AA days, and it's more or less about the Jimmys and Joes, the guys that these coaching staffs have been able to bring in, and it's more or less about the character more than the talent. And they feel like if they can get in the guys that will come into this program and lead the program better than they found it, then they struck gold, and they just continue to be able to do it and get these guys that, you know, are inch or three too short for the Power Five schools or a step or two not where they want them to be. They're able to come in and develop them into what has become, you know, a national brand as far as football goes. And, you know, hats off to Jerry Moore, his staff, Scott Satterfield, his staff, and now Eli Drinkwitz for keeping that going.
These are teams that are very successful offensively. You guys, App State, 47 points a game. Louisiana, 44 points a game. Louisiana runs it more effectively. You know, so when you look at this game and you talk about the keys, what does App State have to do to win this thing?
That's going to come down to the trenches. I think you hit the nail on the head. They cannot allow the Cajuns to come out and just dictate the pace of the game and control the football on the ground. They've got to be able to find a way to get more guys in the box, to slow down this three-headed monster on the ground, and then jump up on them. They can't allow for a fast start by the Cajuns, which we hadn't seen so far from Louisiana this year. But if you go down 14, 21 points against a Louisiana team that runs the ball so effectively, you don't know that you have enough possessions to come back in that football game. So if conversely, the Aps can jump out on top and maybe force Louisiana to do some things they're not as comfortable with, put the ball in the air. But when you do, I'm telling you, Levi Lewis is dangerous. So you got to be able to contain him in the pocket. And he can run the football, but where he's most dangerous is when he pulls the ball down and looks to not just run but extend the play and then find guys in the open field like Jamal Bell, Jamarcus Bradley, who are so fast, you know, so quick, can get open on that scramble drill and can turn, you know, a broken play into six quick.
Well, we're glad you had a great dinner in Acadiana, and it's a beautiful day, great night for football. We'll see what the crowd's like, but enjoy your stay. Should be a heck of a football game, man. Pierre, thank you so much. Always look forward to talking to you at least once a year, my friend.
Thank you, sir. Y'all be blessed.
All right, you take care. That's Pierre Banks, the radio color analyst for App State. Don't forget now, there's another thing. Look out for special teams. App State and Utah State lead the nation with six special team touchdowns since the start of the 2018 season. New coordinator Eric Link's special teams unit this year returned a block punt and had a kickoff return for touchdowns versus Charlotte. So special teams, very, very important. Pack the house. If not now, when? Cajuns, Mountaineers, big-time Sun Belt Conference game tonight, 7 o'clock, Cajun Field. Should be a great one. Pierre talked about in the trenches. Well, that's what's going to determine the LSU-Florida game. So we'll go in the trenches with our coach, Chris Truax, next here on the Jordy Helfrich Show on Acadiana's number one sports station, 103.7 The Game. Come on, Saturday. Get here. I'm tired of talking about it. Show me the game. Let's go.
Father wears his Sunday best. Mother's tired, she needs a rest. The kids are playing up downstairs.
True Lodging RV Park is the place to go. Saturday night, the place to go is Tiger Stadium. And again, we say it all the time, and it may be a cliche, but truly, this time, you got to get the big boy. Whoever wins the big boy game is going to win this thing, and that means offensive line, defensive line. That's the key, as always, and no one knows it better than former LSU offensive lineman, college football offensive line coach, our good friend Chris Truax. Chris, can Saturday ever get here, man? It's only Wednesday. It's killing me.
Jordy, hey, buddy, good hearing from you. I tell you what's really amazing is this will be the first time that Florida's been in Tiger Stadium in 3 years, okay? So that stadium will be electric. It'll be on fire. It will just be a tremendous atmosphere. You got the boys from ESPN will be there. You got the biggest ramifications in college football will be happening in Tiger Stadium, and LSU always seems to step up to the plate when they do that. And, of course, it all starts in that line of scrimmage. And after last week, you know, I just, you know,
first time they're going to be selling beer.
Oh my God! Oh yeah! Well,
for a Tiger Gator game, how about that? That'll be perfect.
Yeah, it's going to be a little Tiger bait happening out there. There ain't no doubt about it. But you know, these guys, you know, my hat's off to Utah State. You know, from last week, like we kind of talked about, that they weren't pushed around, they weren't big boyed around, they weren't fatigued, mm-hmm. they weren't out of shape. They came in there and played their game and competed as well as they can compete against. You know, I thought we opened up and played a little sloppy, a little turnovers, some discipline fouls, some you know penalties that we shouldn't have incurred. But obviously, you know, they handled business. And I know everybody watched the Florida Auburn game, and that was a big physical game. So we get a chance to really find out, I think, the true identity and what LSU football is all about this season.
Look, Chris Truex, kind enough to join us. I'm telling you, last week against Utah State reminded me of a spring game. It was hot. It was nobody in the stands, and whoever was there left at halftime. It was awful. That's not going to be the case Saturday night. That place is going to be crazy. But the thing that stands out to me, last year, in a 27-19 Florida win, their defense created 11 tackles for loss.
Wow.
They got 5 sacks against Joe Burrow and 8 quarterback pressures. That can't happen Saturday or LSU's going to lose.
There's no doubt about it. You just nailed it on the head. Florida controlled the line of scrimmage last year, and they're doing it again this year in the SEC. I mean, I think they've got 2 of the leading sackers in the Southeastern Conference. And where LSU doesn't have 1, I don't think, in the top 10, so that's a little disconcerting to me. The strength of Florida's defense is their defensive line. I'd like to be able to say the strength of the LSU offense is their offensive line right now, but we're still kind of working on a little congruency, a little rhythm with those guys getting back. I know we got Ingram back, and he played some, but Sadiq Charles is out again, so it's still a rotating unit right there. And I don't like that being this stage of the season, but those guys will be ready to play. I know Joe Burrow's going to be laser focused, and wide receivers are having an outstanding season. And it's going to be up to our defensive linemen on the other side to kind of meet the challenge. I think Florida has set the bar not just for the way they're playing, but across the board in the SEC. I mean, I really do. I think it's probably Florida's defensive line is the best, and I think you've got Alabama and Auburn right there, and LSU might be, maybe 5th or 6th best D-line in the SEC at this time.
Yeah. Ed Orgeron said earlier today on the SEC teleconference call that Michael Divinity is further along. He said, I can see him starting, so that's good. Rashard Lawrence thinks he's ready to play. The question is, can he start? So we'll see. Looks like LSU's getting some players back. And that's a good thing. But here's a stat for you. I know you like stats and all these analytics. Yeah, right. LSU's averaging 54.6 points per game. 54.6. Florida has given up 57 total points this season. So this is obviously great offense against great defense. And, I mean, some's going to have to give, Chris.
Something's going to give. There's no doubt about it. So, I mean, you talk about those kind of averages, points scored, points allowed, what's happening in the turnover battles, what's going on in the special teams being, kind of the hidden yards and the punt returns, kickoff return average, the field goal, missed extra points, the third down conversions, and just keeping your offense on the field. I know we've been a little spoiled, too, Jordy, as far as having our offense, scoring seems like about once every 2 minutes, and our defense playing a little bit more on the snaps than they've usually played. So that might have something to do with it as well, too. I mean, and, my hat's off to Florida and Coach Mullins and his staff because, Felipe Frank started the season with them, and, he was a guy that was, a highly coveted kid coming out of the high school. I know he was committed to LSU for a couple of years before he went to South Florida, but I'm drawing a blank on Florida's new quarterback they're playing right now. But he's a competitive kid.
Trask.
He shows you that he can win.
Trask
can win some tight ball games. I mean, they beat. I mean, in my opinion, going into last week, I thought Auburn was really the best team in the SEC, and Florida did a tremendous job against them. Trask did a nice job of leading his team.
Yeah. He suffered that slight sprain of the MCL in his left knee against Auburn, but he was practicing yesterday, and he's a full go to get today. So Dan Mullen said he is good to go. I'm sure the Tigers won't be shy about testing that left knee. That's pretty quick recovery of an MCL.
Well, obviously, Jordan, you know as well as I do, heck, there's different grades of those. And players want to play, right?
Yeah.
This is what
yeah.
you come to the SEC for. It's what you play at LSU for. It's what you play at Florida for. These are prime time moments in your career. And these are kind of defining moments in teams, you know, history. And yeah. unfortunately, you know, everybody starts cannibalizing each other. I mean, how many teams in the SEC do we have in the top 10 right now? Is it five? You know, and then now, yep. you know, somebody's going to get knocked out of the top 10. Somebody's going to stay in the top 10. And here comes, you know, the next Alabama team coming, or, you know, where the Auburn team is. So we start cannibalizing each other, and, you know, it makes room for other teams to have a chance to get into the playoff system.
LSU defense much improved against Utah State, weren't they?
You know, Jordy, I just think you hit the nail on the head. I think we were playing a you know an inferior football team in every position, and that I just don't think they're capable of you know of being a Florida type demeanor or have the personality of the other teams we're going to see in the SEC. I thought LSU, like I said, that. And right off the bat, LSU was playing pretty sloppy. And then they finally picked up the pace and settled in and got on rhythm. But Utah State was outmanned at every position besides their quarterback. There you go. You know, their quarterback's a kid that's developed himself into an NFL draft pick. And that was a, you know, a two-star type recruit coming out of Southern California. But obviously, you know, he's a winner when they're playing like-minded teams. But, you know, Utah State can't hang in the SEC.
Right. No, you're right. Chris Truax, kind enough to join us, brought to you by True Lodging RV Park in Sportsman's Paradise of Hackberry, Louisiana. So when you look at this game, what's the first thing that comes to mind? These are two teams that don't like one another. You mentioned it. It was the first time Florida's been back here in 3 years. Their fans are nasty. They throw bottles at you. They scream obscenities at you. They do all that kind of crazy stuff. We don't like them. They don't like us. It's gonna be a put your big boy pants on, man. This is big time.
Joy, hey man, let me tell you something too. If an LSU fan hasn't been, you know, besides playing there is one thing, and in Gainesville. But if an LSU fan does not get treated very well in Gainesville either, so hopefully we do reciprocate.
Ooh, it's
you
awful.
Know, and we treat their fans that way, kind of like Texas treated us, you know, this year. But this is going to be a tail of the line of scrimmage. Can we protect Joe Burrow to have, you know, these kind of passing numbers? That's what it's going to come down to. It's going to be cut and dry that our receivers can make plays. We're adequate enough in the backfield. Obviously, our quarterback's in the Heisman Trophy talks, but this is going to be kind of a defining moment for Joe this year to see if he's really the real deal against, you know, a stout SEC defense.
Grantham's one of those defensive coordinators that likes to blitz a lot, but he hasn't done that much this year because his front four is really good, and he's got some cover corners out there that are really good. So LSU's receivers against their defensive backs and our defensive backs against the strength of their offense, their receivers, that's another pretty big intangible.
Jordy, no doubt about it. When a defense like Florida can sit back there and those corners know that they have help over the top with two high safeties, that means usually teams want to check to a run or run the football because you have numbers versus their defense. Well, in Florida's case, they're sitting in two high safeties, but their defensive line is one of the line of scrimmage, so they're able to stop the run and they're able to help their corners over the top with you know, with the deep balls being, you know, each one's got a half of the field. That's just a huge up deal. Well, right now we're not that way at LSU. We're more of a man freestyle defense trying to get an extra unblocked man down close to the ball tee and trying to get to that quarterback. So, yeah, it's kind of two different philosophies, but I agree with you. Grantham, to me, is one of the best defensive coordinators in the league. Coach Mullins is one of the best head football coaches in the SEC. I mean, he's got a talented crew.
Yeah, I'm with you. These are, again, this is a rival. We've had some crazy games in this series, man. We've had the fake field goals and flipping the ball over your shoulder. We had the day that we beat number one when DiNardo was here to bring back the magic. We had all the fourth down calls from the Mad Hatter. It's been crazy. What do you remember the most about LSU Florida from your playing days?
Well, you know what? Obviously, you know, we remember, you know, Emmitt Smith as being one of the premier running backs in SEC history. And, you know, they obviously had Kerwin Bell at that time. They had Trace Armstrong, who's one of Trace's nose guard at that time, who's one of the premier college agents right now in the country. Represents Tom Herman, and he represents Irving Meyer to say a few things. And then, you know what the amazing thing is? I just remember long, hot football games. I mean, being in the swamp, you know, getting IVs at halftime and so forth, and not being treated with very much respect over there on the road. And same thing, you know, in Baton Rouge, you know, and Steve Spurrier coming to town, and Steve was a guy that LSU wanted and didn't want as a coach. And there's just really a lot of history between both the programs. And we've had, you know, ample success. They've had ample success. And once again, this is why you choose to be a Tiger, you choose to be a Gator, to play in the premier games like this.
Last 20 seasons, they've won 10. We've won 10. It's about as even, Steven, as you can get. And like I said, man, get your big boy pants on, because this is a money game for a lot of players. We're going to find out if some of our offensive linemen have pro potential. We're going to see if our wide receivers have pro potential, and vice versa on their side as well. So this is a money game for these players.
Well, besides that, you know how it all starts and ends. It's kind of like being on a basketball court. The correlation with the point guard, well, it's correlation with the quarterback, too. And we feel like Joe's had a really productive year at this point. And we're going to find out exactly, you know, kind of what our offense and our offensive coordinator's kind of mindset is going into this game, Jeff, if we keep doing what we're doing, or, you know, if we'll see some new wrinkles maybe that we haven't seen at this point. But it doesn't matter if you're running the ball, you're having to throw the ball laterally or vertically up the field. If you're not going to win the line of scrimmage, it's going to be a rough day for either team playing.
That's why we get you, big guy, because it's always in the trenches, man. You're getting out there early, boy. It's going to be crazy out there on that campus.
Oh, man, it's really fire. It's what a great electric atmosphere. Of course, you know, everybody can be there early trying to see old Herb Street and all that kind of stuff, you know. So college game day, I'll get it going. And then, of course, Baton Rouge and Tiger Stadium is one of the best in the country.
He is Chris Truax. He's in the trenches, and we greatly appreciate it, my friend. So enjoy the ball game.
Brother.
Be safe.
You too. Take care. Go Tigers.
All right, you got it, my friend. That's brought to you by True Lodging RV Park in Hackberry, Louisiana. World-class fishing, hunting, bird watching. It is the perfect RV park, and it's located in southwest Louisiana, catering to all the natural gas lodgers with all the plants in the near vicinity. Lots of green space for your pets, laundry facility, Wi-Fi, and security cameras. Go to True Lodging RV Park. You can't miss it. TrueLodgingRVPark.com in Hackberry. The phone number, 337-287-0631. 337-287-0631. Go relax a little bit when you get the chance. Go out to True Lodging RV Park. We'll close out hour number one after this.
Here's three pieces of advice to live by. Never play cards with a guy whose last name is Estate. Don't spit into the wind. And always get your sports talk from the Jordy Hultberg Show on Acadiana Sports Station, 103.7 The Game.
All right, welcome back. Closing out hour number one, D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10 at the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobriggs. Frankie says, go Tigers on Saturday. Go Cajuns tonight. He's got everything you need if you want to stock up and get ready and get right for the ball game. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon's got that true soul food deli tucked away in the corner. Oh, that cheeseburger is finger-licking good. D.C.'s Little Capital Exxon, I-10. At the Henderson-Cecilia exit in Brobriggs. Jalen Ramsey was officially limited at practice today for the Jacksonville Jags. The Saints take on the Jags this Sunday in Jacksonville. And here's one for you. Starting quarterback for the Florida Gators is Kyle Trask. Did you know that Kyle Trask has not started a road game in his football career since he was 14 years old? Welcome to Saturday night in Death Valley, Kyle. You talk about, you can't simulate Tiger Stadium on a Saturday night at a practice facility with crowd noise. You can't do it. You cannot do it. It's impossible. So, I like LSU in this game. I just really like LSU in this game. We'll have our picks later on in the week. We'll get some Florida guests on and all that stuff. So we shall see. We shall see. I don't know who the guest picker is going to be. I know Shaq's going to be in town Friday night. He's going to be the guest DJ at one of the local pubs out there in Tigerland called Fred's. A lot of people are talking about John Goodman. Remember John Goodman, the actor? Yeah. I don't know who it's going to be. Britney Spears, I don't know. I have no idea who it's going to be, but it's going to be a big time on campus. And in this part of the world, I'm telling you, after Thursday, it kind of shuts down and the weekend begins. Now, we'll be here Friday, and we'll give you our football Friday in Acadiana. We'll knock it out the park. But everybody else, man, they're shutting it down. Nobody's going to work. Everybody's getting ready. You get these kind of opportunities rarely, and this is the big one, and it's a night game. Look, the Auburn game is going to be on CBS at 2:30. Yeah, that's just it. Alabama on the road, that's going to be a 2:30 game. Mississippi State on the road, that's going to be a CBS 2:30 game. She's going to be on CBS a lot after this one. This is the night one. This is the night game. This is the one. And so Tiger Stadium's going to be at its all-time best, and the weather's going to be sensational, and they're going to be selling beer in the stadium. Oh, my God. Look, I'm telling you, Florida's nasty. They treat LSU fans like dirt. I'm just telling you. So I urge LSU fans, don't do anything stupid. Just don't. Pull for your team. Pull for the Tigers, and just ignore those other people. Send them home with a big old butt whooping, and everything will be fine. I guess I don't want to see any. I don't see any people going to jail for fighting. I just don't want to see it. And what I want to see is a packed house tonight at Cajun Field, 7:00. Come on, this is the biggest game all year in the Sun Belt, and you got them in your backyard, and you owe them big time. Hour number one's history. Hour number two straight ahead. The Jordy Hultberg Show, 103.7 The Game, 1037thegame.com.
Live from the 237 Roof Studios in Upper Lafayette.
Tigers pulled off another miracle.
This is Acadiana Sports Station, 1037 The Game.
Touchdown,
streaming live on the 1037 The Game mobile app and online at 1037thegame.com.
He struck him out, and the Tigers have won.
This is is the Jordy Hultberg Show. Get involved and call 337-706-0111. Follow along at 1037 The Game on Facebook and Twitter. And now it's time. Here's your host, Jordy Hultberg.
It's hour number two of two, and away we go. Brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, you can't shop right at all. We've got 60 of them in southern and central Louisiana. Become a Buku Rewards member. It'll take you about 5 seconds. It's so simple. It's so easy, and the savings are incredible. ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. We've talked about the big ball game tonight. Raging Cajuns, a one-point underdog to App State. Time to show up, show out, and time for the Raging Cajuns to finally get off the schneid. They're 0-6 against App State all time. Tonight, they change it around, and they get their first win of their lifetime against the Mountaineers. Coming up in this hour of the program, Frank Frangie, the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jags. We'll talk about their quarterback, Minshew Mania. We'll talk about their running back, Leonard Fournette from LSU, their top wide receiver, DJ Chark from LSU, having a career year. Unbelievable. And Mike Hugonen of The Athletic. It's hump day with Hugonen, all coming your way. But we do it every day at this time of day. CD, time to take our daily walk around the sports water cooler. Do what you do so well.
Here's today's Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef. Spice up your life with Cajun Chef products. Delectably delicious, decidedly better.
All right, CD, I've been saying this all day long. I feel like Saturday's not going to get here soon enough, but what a big opportunity tonight for the Raging Cajuns, man. I'm going to be watching. I can't wait. I know you'll be there at Cajun Field. It's going to be a great night. I think the Cajuns get it done. I really do.
I hope you're right, Jordy, because this could be something that sets up a big game in December. I know everybody's been talking about how the potential of the Cajuns being that host and possibly kind of changing some of the things, some of the plans that these select schools have with the state championship game. The rumor was apparently they wanted to do Cajun Field, but again, you want to leave that open in case you wind up hosting this thing. And if you wind up winning this game, Jordy, think about this.
Yes.
App State,
you got a shot.
Exactly. And App State, you received a lot of votes in the most recent polls. With a win, Jordy, on Saturday, tonight, come Sunday, do the Cajuns wind up being one of those teams that receives votes, or do they squeak into the top 25?
Absolutely. Ooh, it's going to be close. It's going to be tough. Depends on what some of those other teams do. But they'll be knocking on the door at the very least. I think that if you stretched it out, App State would be number 28 in the country. So this is a big opportunity at home, hold serve, get the win, and then you're really in the driver's seat, man, because this, what a great opportunity. So, again, I just hope the Cajun fans do the right thing and show up. That would be great. It'd be so disappointing if they don't. But I think they will. I hope they will.
I hope they will too, Jordy. And it's more so on the other side of Cajun Field, the hard cam side, because I've seen the Cajuns crowd, and I know the TV broadcast doesn't necessarily speak to it, but I feel like the student body is going to be in full effect tonight. We're going to see that crowd out there making noise and getting it done. I think the biggest thing is we need to have every person in there. That thing needs to be damn near full, because this is an opportunity to have one of those statement wins the previous regime could never have. And that is, yes, it's against the Sun Belt Conference program, but it's against the cream of the crop in Cajun Field.
So what?
It's absolutely crucial to get a win.
Got to win this one. Do they, I don't hear any, you know, Ed Orgeron's talk about no gimmicks. None of that. I haven't heard anything about uniforms and all that kind of. Just go play the game and go win it. And, look, the defense has to step up. They really do. And I'm not worried about the running game. Levi Lewis has to play lights out. And if he does, Cajuns are going to be celebrating into the wee hours of the morning.
Oh, they're going to be celebrating to the wee hours of the morning if that defense steps up. Mainly to me, Jordy, it's got to be the secondary that performs at the highest level. Because I think once you can take Zach Thomas out of the equation, that winds up giving you a much better shot of getting your defense, more importantly, off the field. Because I feel like you can look at what the Cajuns have on the defensive front. I feel like they can get it done, but I want to see guys like Deuce Wallace, like Braylon Trahan, and a lot of these other guys in the secondary get it done. They do that, they're winning this ballgame, Jordy.
Yeah, and look, there's always three phases, and everybody talks about them. And I said it earlier, don't underestimate the special teams play in this game. App State's really, really good at it. They've been good at it for a long, long time. They're a mini version of Virginia Tech in the way that they cause havoc in special teams, blocking punts, scooping and scoring and all that. So special teams has to be really on guard. They've got to win that battle. And the other thing that App State doesn't do, and they're overdue for this, they don't cough the ball up. They haven't fumbled all year long. So they're overdue for that one. But it should be a great environment. The weather's going to be phenomenal. Get yourselves right, Cajun fans, and let's go have some fun tonight, man. Let's do it.
Let's have some fun tonight. I'm in complete agreement with you because it's going to be a lot of fun to see that crowd out there. But, of course, let's flip it on over, Jordy, to one of the other big things everybody's been talking about. That is the sudden collapse, Jordy, of the Houston Astros. It looked like they were standing tall, sitting pretty at 2-0 heading into that two-game trip to Tampa by the Bay and could not get it done last night. I believe it was a 4-1 final, and it was just weird to see. And now tomorrow night, Game 5, it is must win. How huge is it for Gerrit Cole to have the performance of his life to help the Astros advance? Because this, if they don't make it, this is going to be a disappointing end to the season.
Wow. Oh, it will be debilitating. And it'll be like the Atlanta Falcons squandering that lead to the New England Patriots, kind of catastrophic. No question. Look, we talked with Chandler Rome about it. The most disappointing thing has been the Astros offense, and you've got to credit Tampa Bay's pitching staff. But Gerrit Cole's a difference maker. He's not coming in on 3 days rest. He's ready to go back home, Minute Maid Park. This is a battle of the orange juices, right? So if the Astros win, I'm drinking Minute Maid orange juice. If the Rays win, I'm drinking Tropicana orange juice. So I want to drink Minute Maid, hold the pulp. I want the Astros to win. And I want my Redbirds to win tonight. Come on.
Game 5, Jordy.
Let's go.
Both NLDS going to Game 5s. I don't think any of us saw that coming, especially with the Doyers. And the Nats, do the Nats have any shot of one of trying to be able to complete this upset of all upsets? Because it felt like heading into the season, heading to the postseason, a collision course for Astros Dodgers part deux. And now we're sitting here, the potential the Nats could play spoiler here.
Strasburg's on the mound, isn't he? Heck yeah, they got a chance. He was pretty daggum good in his one outing. In the series. So, yeah, they got a shot, but the Dodgers at home, pretty tough. Man, I just want St. Louis to win. I don't know how they're going to do it, if they can possibly do it against the Braves. The Braves have that noose around their neck. They've been kind of choking a little bit, so we'll see. But it's exciting that these things go to Game 5. Three of the four Game 5ers, and the Yankees are just sitting back going,
yep.
Just waiting.
They're just patiently waiting to see what's going to happen with the ALCS, but I know they're certainly glad that the ALDS Game 5 is happening, because that means now, Jordy, possibly you're going to wind up seeing maybe Gerrit Cole, Justin Verlander Game 2 and Game 3, as opposed to, you know, Cole, Verlander 1 and 2 inside a potentially raucous Minute Maid Park.
Oh, it'll be packed to the rafters. I like the Astros' chances. I really, really do. Cole again, and you know, something about being at home. The big play, the big difference maker was an incredible center field to infield to home plate relay to get Altuve out at the plate. That was the big.
It was amazing.
They tried that 10 times. I promise you, 9 times. 9 times they don't get it done. It's just that one time they did. And that was the difference, and that set them, took them to a different level, and it just seemed to take the air out of the Astros. Big games tonight. All right, that's your Hot Topics, brought to you by Cajun Chef Hot Sauce. Do yourself a flavor. Bring some Cajun Chef Hot Sauce with you wherever you go, because everything tastes better with Cajun Chef on it. Saints talk against the Jags next.
Bring a KD. Taking the hottest topics out there and dousing them in gasoline. It's the Jordy Hultberg Show on 103.7 The Game.
All right, the New Orleans Saints will leave the friendly confines of the Mercedes-Benz Superdome. They travel to Jacksonville this Sunday for the first of two back-to-back road games. Minshew Mania and all that's going on with Jacksonville, and we are thrilled to be joined by the play-by-play voice of the Jags, my good friend from back in the day, Frank Frangie. Frank, boy, you big-timer, how are you?
Jordy, I'm great, man. Great to hear from you. How are things on the bayou? It's been too long, man. How was everything?
Well, let's see. This Gardner Minshew stuff, my goodness gracious, 67% completion percentage, nearly 1,300 yards, 9 touchdowns, only 1 interception. Can I get a T-shirt with this guy and his mustache?
The mustache is perfect. Jordan, he's pretty good. You know, he's new. He's learning every day. I think the thing that astounds people about Gardner Minshew is that none of it seems too big, and all the complexities of NFL passing games haven't confused this guy. You know the way the league works. Even young quarterbacks learn as they go, and they're better in year two at understanding defenses than they were in year one, and better in year four than in year two. And this guy seems to have gone past all that. He's got a good arm, not a great arm. He's about 6'1". There's a reason he didn't go until the sixth round. He's not a measurables guy, but he's a neat kid too. Now, Jordy, he's a special player. And look, they got a lot of things to do here, but he's off to a great start. It's been fun watching him for sure.
Oh, it really has. And dramatic wins, some tough losses, but he keeps you in the game, right? He keeps you in the ball game.
That's probably the one thing we've all said around here, is they're never really out of a game because he can bring you back. Look, the Jags are pretty good defensively. They've been good defensively for 2 or 3 years now. The problem is if they started playing uphill down 14-3, the game was over. And that day's changed. And that day's changed significantly because of this guy. He's in the now. They got to quit getting behind. The problem is they've been playing uphill every week. They play uphill against Houston and come back and then go for two and don't win the game. They play uphill against Denver, and they get down 21-7 and come back and win the game. They get down big against Carolina and come back and almost win the game. Other than the Tennessee game, they've played from behind too much, but he's given them a chance for sure, Jordy. Yes.
Now, look, I know you're a big Florida Gator fan, but you got to thank us now because we sent you a couple of LSU guys, and I want to talk about the emergence of DJ Chark. How about that?
Yeah, well, for people that aren't old like us, okay, people are all like, they don't know that Jordy Hultberg never missed a shot in Alligator Alley. I'm still bitter about that, Jordy. For people that aren't like, Jordy never missed a shot in Gainesville. To this day, he's never missed a shot in Gainesville. DJ Chark is a special guy. He's a good guy. He's a good player. He's humble. When he got here, I wasn't sure, Jordy, because he didn't have great hands. He kind of fought the ball a little. And he didn't catch a lot of balls at LSU. He caught, 30, 40 balls, 50 balls his whole career there.
Yeah.
So it took a while for him to be a more natural pass catcher or to seem like one. But, boy, as he stepped up, 5 touchdowns already. He's averaging a touchdown a game. He looks like a special player for sure. He really does.
18 yards per reception. He's been targeted 37 times, 27 receptions. I mean, he's been terrific. Has the light come on now for Leonard Fournette? He had that huge 200-yard game. He's got 512 yards overall, 102.4 yards per game. But more importantly, 5.4 yards a pop.
Jordy, I think he's grown up. You probably know him better than we know him yet. You know, you guys saw him a long time over there. He's growing up. After the game last week, he got the whole team together when they lost a gut-wrencher in Charlotte, and it was an impassioned, we're still in this, I love you guys. Look, you can trust me. I mean, he was him. Only his third year in the league. He was a captain last year, and I'm not sure he acted like a captain, to be honest with you. And that's why he probably didn't get voted as a captain this year. But this year, without the C on his chest, he's more of a captain than I ever saw last year. He's growing up. He's a good player. He plays hard. He runs hard. I think he's going to have a gigantic year. He went into that game last week, third in the league in rushing. Didn't do anything to hurt himself with 100 yards. So, no, I think people here, they weren't. First year, he looked really good. Last year, Jordy, they weren't sure about. They weren't sure what they had in Leonard Fournette. I think everyone's pretty excited right now about the guy. They really are.
Frank Frangie, the play-by-play voice of the Jacksonville Jaguars. When I think of Jacksonville, I always think defense. What's going on that side of the ball?
Well, they got to get Ramsey back, Jordy. Everyone knows the Jalen Ramsey drama by now. Had a disagreement with the front office, has to be traded, had played for a while now. He's practicing today. Today's the first time he's practiced since playing in that Tennessee game a couple weeks ago. Now, he's limited, still got some back issues, went to see a specialist in Houston, but he's going to practice. And so even if he's limited, Jalen's a guy that if he practices, he usually plays. With Michael Thomas coming in here, boy, that's really important. I think Michael Thomas might be one of the best two or three receivers in the league. They really need Jalen to play. Otherwise, defense has been pretty good. They're a very good pass-rushing defense. The weak areas of linebackers, they haven't played great. But the front four and the back four have been pretty good. They got to get better linebacker play. They're young there. Miles Jack's still a young middle linebacker. Quincy Williams is a rookie. But overall, the defense has been pretty good.
Are you surprised with the Saints and what they've done, winning at Seattle, at home against Dallas, and then taking a Tampa Bay team that put 55 on the Rams and beating them? I mean, they lost Drew Brees, but 3-0.
You know what, Jordan? I'm not surprised. I think next to Bill Belichick, the guy's the best coach in the league. I think Sean Payton's the best. I think he's the best play caller in the league. And I think next to Bill Belichick, he's the best coach in the league. So I'm not surprised. And Bridgewater made a great decision. He could have gone to Miami and been their quarterback. Yeah. He's from Miami. They would have built around, you know the story, they would have built around him, built around a hometown kid. And he said, no, I'm going to stay here. I'm going to stay here maybe to be the heir apparent. He's going to get paid in the offseason wherever he winds up. I like him, too. He's a good guy. He is, we saw him a little bit back in the day in Louisville. I don't think I am surprised by the Saints. I was surprised at the Seattle. Nobody expected that, for them to go up there and cut Seattle like that on the road. But big picture, I'm not surprised. I think the guy's a great coach. I think they have a great franchise now. And, no, this is a tough challenge. Even though Jacksonville's a one-point favorite, I'm not sure I get that. I think this is a tough challenge for the Jets.
All right, let's get to the real game. That Florida defense is pretty good, but you've never seen an LSU offense like what you're seeing right now.
That's going to be very tough. 14-point favorite, that number seems about right. I've not seen LSU play offensively like this. Florida's got a good defense, Jordy, but it's not full of NFL guys. There's not a bunch of first rounders over there. C.J. Henderson, the cornerback's probably a first rounder. Zuniga, who they get back, is a really good player. Grenard has played at a great level for them, so they've been good defensively. But they don't have great players. But it's a pretty salty defense. Florida's got to win a wrestling match over there. That's their only chance. If it becomes a track meet, they're dead. What we don't know about LSU is LSU scored a bunch of points but hasn't played a bunch of good defense. Even Texas does not have a great defense. They haven't played that top 90 defense yet. So that's the question, I think, from our end is LSU as good as they look offensively or as part of that the competition? But I'll tell you, Burrow looks good and Joe Brady's done magical things with him. Nobody debates that.
I would, people will never forgive me if I don't ask you, all Saints fans that are heading to Jacksonville, and they're coming, I promise you, they're coming. So Frank is an Epicurean delight. So where should we go eat in Jacksonville?
Well, the food's not as good here as it is there. Let me tell you that, all right? Go to the beach. Everything at the beach is good, bro. You can't go wrong at the beach down here. Well, stay near the beach. That's where the best restaurants are. You'll have a big time, I promise.
I love it. Frank, one of the good guys in the broadcasting world. He's done it all. I'm so happy for you with the gig with the Jaguars, and keep up the great work. Miss you, man, but you take care of yourself, and you're always welcome down in this part of the world.
Jordy, great to catch up with you. We had some fun times in the TV world back in the day. Great to catch up with you. Ooh. Thanks for calling, man. Take care.
We did. All right, buddy. You take care. Saints, Jags this Sunday in Jacksonville, Minshew Mania. But it's great to see Leonard Fournette doing well, and DJ Chark, I think, has surprised everyone with the way that he has played. And remember, this is a guy, he would have a great spring game at LSU, and then Les Miles wouldn't play him when it counted. And I've never understood it till the final year, his senior year, and then they hardly threw the ball to him. But now making a name for himself as the leading receiver for the Jacksonville Jags. So I'm sure that Marshawn Lattimore will draw the attention and will be concerned about DJ Chark. Remarkable story. So happy for him. So can the Saints get another one on the road? We shall see. We'll take a quick time out here. That brought to you by ShopRite Tobacco Plus Discount Outlets. If you can't shop right at ShopRite, man, I don't know if you can, I don't know if you'll ever be able to shop right at all, because they just know what they're doing. Now, listen, we're the station that keeps on giving and giving and giving. And you know, we talked a little bit with Frank about the LSU-Florida game. Florida's coming back to Death Valley for the first time in 3 years, and we here at 103.7 The Game want to send you there to help the Tigers put a beat down on the Gators with a Show Us Your Game contest. To win, go to 103.7thegame.com, upload a photo of yourself or your kids or your wife or your girlfriend or your significant other in your favorite LSU gear for a chance to win a pair of tickets to the I'm telling you, it's going to be a great game. Intense rivalry. So what are you waiting for? Show us your game. And let me just tell you something. Let me give you a little secret. The crazier, the better. The better your chances. It's a sellout. Tickets are going through the roof on the secondary market. We're going to give you two freebies. So go to 1037thegame.com and show us your game. Put everything on that's purple and gold. Be wild, be crazy, be creative, and you may have a shot. Michael Hugin of The Athletic, next.
Guess what day it is?
It's time to break down the biggest storylines in college football this week with Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. What's up, Michael?
Mike. What day is it, Mike? Hump day!
Oh, I don't know about you, Michael Huguenin of The Athletic, but it feels like football season's here now. The weather's getting a little cooler in this part of the world, and we got some really, really good matchups to talk about. Good afternoon, my friend.
Yeah, I'm not sure about the weather part, but because it's hot here, trust me. But the games this weekend are interesting. A couple of pretty interesting games last week as well. And, yeah, we're in October, so it should be better games, better weekends from here on out.
Yeah. What was your biggest takeaway from last weekend?
I think that I was extremely impressed with Ohio State, the way they dismantled Michigan State. Michigan State does not play good offense, but Michigan State really had been an elite defensive team until they played Ohio State, which shredded them and made them look really bad. Florida held up against Auburn's defensive front. And I think that was, I was surprised at how well Florida played and the fact that Florida won.
All right, well, let's get to this week. It's interesting. Alabama and Clemson both coming off byes. Clemson's going to be taking on Florida State. Be interesting to see how they react to that one. But Alabama and Texas A&M, your thoughts on that one?
Oh, I think Alabama wins relatively easily, relatively comfortably, let's put it that way. I don't think it'll be easy. I think A&M's hopes, they have to find a running game. They have been horrible on the ground, and absolutely horrible on the ground. And you can't be one-dimensional and beat Alabama. They got to find a way to run. Maybe it's Kellen Mond with his legs. Who knows? I think they can do some things that maybe slow down Tua for a while, but I think Alabama wins by double digits. But, again, I think the key is, if A&M can't run at all, this is going to be a game you don't even need to watch.
I'm bouncing all over the place. How remiss of me. We got a great game tonight in the Sun Belt. Appalachian yes. State in Lafayette to take on Billy Napier's Raging Cajuns. Your thoughts?
Yeah, I think ULL is, I think, playing better than most people expected. I know they won their division in the Sun Belt last year, but I think that was partly because of the vision isn't very good. But this year, ULL is playing extremely well, and they're running the heck out of the ball. I mean, this is a extremely potent rushing attack, 22 rushing TDs in five games. Simple math tells you, my goodness, they're rushing for four touchdowns a game. and that's pretty good. So App State, I think, lost a little bit when Satterfield left, because I don't think Drinkwitz is as good a coach yet. But this is certainly a very interesting game for Lafayette. I think the home field, presuming people are going to show up, I think the home field is the key, and I think Lafayette's going to win. And you know, they have shred the last two games. They shredded Ohio and Georgia Southern on the ground. I know Georgia Southern isn't that good. Ohio is, though, and I don't think App State plays better defense than Ohio, frankly. So I think ULL is going to win this game.
UL fans now realize what LSU feels like when they go up against Alabama. I haven't beaten Alabama in forever. App State 6-0 against Louisiana, so maybe the worm will turn tonight. We certainly hope so. Friday night, a couple of good games, but one in particular, I think Colorado and Oregon. The Buffaloes are 3-2, 13th ranked. Oregon 4-1.
Yeah, Oregon plays really good defense, but despite having a first round pick at quarterback, their offense has scuffled. Justin Herbert's playing well, 17 touchdowns, one pick, but the running game has not gotten cranked up, and their, I would argue, their most consistent receivers, their tight end, Jacob Breeland. Now, they have had issues with injuries at receiver. Three of their top five guys have only played one game. This will be their second game. So I think you're going to see the Oregon pass offense get a little bit more balanced and not everything thrown to Johnny Johnson and Jacob Breeland. Colorado's offense, Stephen Montez is a good quarterback. Kid's got he's a big guy, 6'5", 230. He's going to get drafted. Got a nice arm, good receivers, so they will stress the Oregon defense. But the Oregon offense, Colorado's defense is not good. So if Oregon's offense is going to get well, it should get well against this defense. And let's put it another way, though. If Oregon struggles to move the ball on Colorado, that bodes ill for the rest of the way for the Ducks. But I think Oregon, the Oregon defense to me is real. Andy Avalos, who was hired from Boise State, is a good coordinator. They got a lot of good athletes on that side of the ball. Their starting nose guard is a kid from the Tampa Bay area. They got kids from Georgia. They got a lot of kids from Texas and California. Oregon's got a national recruiting structure. I think Oregon's going to win. I think Oregon, on paper right now, at least, is the best team in the Pac-12, though they're not a playoff team. But I still think they'd beat Colorado.
Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. I don't recall ever, in maybe in the history of this series, I've not heard one peep about USC at Notre Dame. Not a peep!
No, and I think that's... This is a rivalry that's been around since the 1920s. And you talk to the USC people, and they're like, yeah, we know we're in the same town as UCLA, but this is our true rivalry game. And I know Notre Dame people like to look at USC as a legit rival as well, because they play them every year. They don't play Michigan every year, so they play USC every year. So this USC team is down to its third-string quarterback. Really good group of receivers. Defensively, though, no great shakes. And if Ian Book plays well, Notre Dame's going to win. Ian Book's a California kid, a SoCal kid, as a matter of fact. So, it is interesting. And I think because USC has fallen so far lately, this game usually engenders a lot of talk and everybody gets psyched for it. Because even if you don't care, hey, it's USC Notre Dame. This year, though, it's, hey, it's USC Notre Dame. Who cares? And that is, I think, an indictment of USC's program, because Notre Dame's ranked top 10. USC might be one of the top five teams in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
That's about all.
It's so odd seeing John Robinson on LSU sidelines during games as an analyst. It's just so odd to see that. But anyway, let's move on. In the Big Ten, 10th ranked Penn State at 17th ranked Iowa. The Nittany Lions quietly 5-0, James Franklin's club, undefeated. Kirk Ferentz's Iowa Hawkeyes at 4-1.
Yeah, Iowa last week, I think, got away from what it usually likes to do. That's a team that, you know, plays a lot of two tight end sets, lines up with a fullback, I formation. I think it was either the last 14 or 15 to the last 16 plays of the game against Michigan, they lined up with three or four wide, went away from their identity. And they only scored 3 points, and they lost to Michigan. Can they rebound? Yes. Penn State is not that good running the ball. They are good throwing the ball. Sean Clifford is a really pretty good quarterback, especially considering he's in his first year as a starter. They got a bunch of weapons, a wide receiver, tight end. They play pretty good defense. They're faster than Iowa. I think Penn State wins this game. But the home, you know, I've been to games at Iowa. That is an underrated home field advantage. Mm-hmm. The fans are exceedingly close mm-hmm. to the action. I actually went there to a game as a fan once, sat about 20 rows from the field, and watched a kid reach over the wall and grab an opposing helmet and run away with it. I mean, that's how you can literally reach over. You could then. I don't think it's changed. You can literally reach over the wall and touch the opposing team's bench. So the fans are right up on you. They're loud. They're raucous. It's a good atmosphere. The home crowd needs to be out in force. Penn State's a better team, and I think they win. But I think Iowa is generally well coached, and the home field maybe gives them an advantage in this one. But I still think Penn State wins.
Do you think if James Franklin stayed at Vanderbilt that they would be middle of the pack, or even maybe higher in the SEC, or is it just too hard to win there in
football? I think he recruited a lot differently than Derek Mason. And you know, not that Derek Mason isn't trying to recruit that well, but Franklin is a really good recruiter. Franklin has greatly improved Penn State's recruiting, taking a page out of the Urban Meyer recruiting handbook. I mean, Meyer was a phenomenal recruiter. And Franklin, just like Meyer, went to the Big Ten from the SEC. And Franklin is one of those guys, one of those coaches who, if you're not recruiting 365 days a year, you're not doing your job. So, and I think a lot of Big Ten coaches recruit 250 days a year, not 365. That's why you look at Ohio State's roster. It's loaded with top-flight players. And you look at Penn State's roster, that is a very talented roster as well. The difference, again, they don't have an elite running back this year. The quarterback's in his first year as a starter. But Franklin, I think, if he had stayed at Vanderbilt, I think would be a 6'6", 7'5" kind of coach, because, frankly, that's generally what Vanderbilt is. And he bucked tradition there, partly because Tennessee and Florida were down, partly because Georgia was down one of those years as well. And he took advantage. But it's obviously, I think James Franklin knows what he's doing. Yeah, no question.
Yeah, I'm with you. Michael Hugan and The Athletic, kind enough to join us. All right, let's get to some of the two biggest games of the weekend, the Red River Shootout. I'll still call it because it's so hard for me to say, and I'm very proud when I can say it, the Red River Rivalry.
Yeah.
6th-ranked Oklahoma, 11th-ranked Texas. They fry everything. They talk a lot of smack. But, man, who's going to stop Jalen Hurts?
That's the thing. You look at Oklahoma's offense, good receiving core, really deep group of running backs, an offensive line that's still finding its way. That's the one, if there's a red light saying stop about this Oklahoma offense, it's the offensive line. And, you know, the weird thing, they're averaging like 580 yards a game, and here I'm saying their offensive line isn't that good. It hasn't meshed as well as last year's, but you're right, Hurts is playing out of his mind. He accounted for 4 touchdowns last week and was mad. He didn't play well, he said. So I don't see Texas's defense stopping Oklahoma. Now, the flip side of that, this will be the best offense that Oklahoma has seen. Let's see how they handle it. Sam Ellinger is good. The Texas offense is explosive. They have a pretty good offensive line. I think it'll be a high-scoring game, but I think Oklahoma wins. And Oklahoma, I would argue, needs to win if they want to stay on the path to the playoff. I know they got in last year with one loss. I don't think the Pac-12 as a whole is better than it was last year. I'm sorry, the Big 12 as a whole is as good as it was last year. So I think this is a key game for Oklahoma, and I think Hurts outduels Ellinger, and I think Oklahoma wins.
All right, let's go to Death Valley Saturday night under the lights, 7 o'clock. It's East versus West. It is a great rivalry. Two teams that do not like one another. LSU 5th in the country with one of those elite offenses, Florida seventh in the country, one of those elite defenses. I guess the question mark is, how healthy is their quarterback? What are your keys? What are you thinking about? And why is Vegas so in love with LSU, 13.5, 14-point favorite in this thing?
Yeah, I think there's still a lot of skepticism about Florida even after last week. I think that the one thing for this will be the first offense that Florida has played against that can take the top off of defense. Miami has a really productive passing attack. I think Miami's like sixth or seventh in the nation in passing, but they don't have an elite group of receivers who can get deep. I'm not saying LSU's got elite receivers, but they have a group of guys who can get deep. Florida hasn't really had to handle that kind of stuff yet. The one positive for Florida defensively, this will be the best defense LSU has seen, hands down. This will be the first time this year Florida will have all 11 projected starters healthy and ready to go. Jabari Zuniga missed last week's game against Auburn. He's their best pass rusher. He and Jonathan Grenard are going to be a handful for LSU's tackles. I know LSU's offensive line is not as cohesive as coaches perhaps want it to be at this point in the season. So that's something to watch. Now, that said, Florida cannot run the ball. Now, LSU's defensive front is not as good as Auburn's. I don't know if that matters. And LSU's secondary is much better than Auburn's. Florida got a lot of great one-on-one matchups against Auburn, and they took advantage. Two of the three touchdown passes came with wide receivers lined up in the slot going against inside linebackers. And you got to give Kyle Trask credit. He saw it and went right to him, yes, and they both scored. I don't think LSU is going to match up with linebackers on slot receivers. So that was Kevin Steele's mistake, and Dan Mullen out-schemed him. I don't think you can out-scheme Aranda like you can out-scheme Steele. Now, LSU's defense has shown a susceptibility this year, but LSU also knows it can win shootouts. And Florida hasn't done that, and I don't think Florida is equipped to win a shootout. So I think LSU wins, but I don't think that Joe Burrow is going to have as easy a day as he has had this year. But I still think LSU is going to win because I think their offense unquestionably is better than Florida's. The question I have is, how much better is LSU's defense? I'm not sure it's better than Florida's, but I think it's pretty close, and I think that's why LSU is going to win.
You think LSU puts up 30 or 30, more than 30?
I think they'll get in the 30s. I think Florida will get in the 20s. I don't think LSU's scoring in the 40s, though, no.
Okay. All right. Interesting. Who, after last weekend, I mean, you know, who are your top teams from what you've seen? Forget about the past. Forget about all that. Let's lay it out.
Yeah, the one thing that right now, Clemson is a talented team. They're going to go unbeaten because the ACC is garbage. I think Clemson blows FSU's doors in on Saturday. They've had a whole week to stew about how they barely beat North Carolina. They're going to be back home. These guys are crowing about being 3-2 and beating NC State and Louisville. Clemson's offense is a little better than NC State and Louisville, so I think Clemson blows them out. All that said, Clemson right now is not one of my top four. I know they're a talented team. They have not shown it on the field. I think what's been shown on the field thus far, Ohio State would be my number one. They're killing teams on both sides of the ball. They are absolutely dominant on both sides of the ball, playing really good defense and obviously playing really good offense. I think Alabama, I think LSU, and I think Oklahoma would be my other four. Georgia, I'm still not 100% convinced about. I know they had an impressive win against Notre Dame, but I still think that should have been a bigger margin. Georgia was sweating that game out in the fourth quarter, and I don't think they had to. And I think my question about Georgia goes back to, I am not convinced that Kirby Smart's an elite coach yet. I think he coaches not to lose rather than coach to win, and there is a difference. So, my four right now would be Ohio State, Alabama, Oklahoma, and LSU.
He is Michael Hugan of The Athletic. We hope you're right on your picks, big guy, because we'd love you for it, man. Have a great week, and enjoy the ball games, buddy. Talk to you next time.
Definitely. Thank you, sir.
Back to wrap it up. next on the Jordy Helfrich Show. Welcome back. You can win VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge. VIP means no waiting in line. You walk right into the place where your worst nightmare comes to life. Enter to win at the 1037 The Game Clubhouse at 1037thegame.com for your chance for VIP tickets to the 13th Gate, the ultimate haunted attraction in Baton Rouge. It was on this day, October 9th, the year 1997. North Carolina Tar Heel basketball coach Dean Smith, a legend, retired. He coached the Tar Heels for 36 years with 879 wins that at the time was the most in men's college basketball history. Under his guidance, the Tar Heels won two NCAA championships, appeared in 11 Final Fours. They won 13 ACC tournament championships, 17 ACC regular season titles, and they appropriately named their new arena the Dean Dome, after Dean Smith, on this day, October 9th, 1997, retired from coaching. If today is your birthday, happy birthday from all of us to all of you. October 9th is your special day. He's not retiring from coaching. He's got a great contract. Happy 54th birthday to Jimbo Fisher of the Texas A&M Aggies. So there you go on that one. Special thanks, Pierre Banks, radio color analyst for App State. Chris Truax taking us in the trenches, giving us the keys for the Tigers to beat up the Gators. Frank Frangi with the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's the play-by-play voice for them. And Michael Huguenin of The Athletic. It's a big weekend in college football. Look, tonight, the Raging Cajuns, they got to get it done defensively. They got to shut down App State. The offense is going to be fine. The defense has to come to play. And you Raging Cajun fans got to show up. Show out. If not, I'm done. I'm done. If you can't come to this one, I'm done. So show up. And support the Raging Cajuns. They have earned that from you. I'm not talking 20. I'm talking 30,000. Let's go. Show up. Tomorrow, the Schwab joins us with his NFL picks, and we'll preview the big game. Astros and the Rays survive in advance. Been a great one. Have a great one. Come on back tomorrow, same time, 2 to 4. Same great station, 103.7 The Game. Until then, I'm Jordy Helfrich. Stay thirsty, my friends. Stay thirsty.